WPFW presents Still We Rise, our 48th anniversary celebration on Friday, April 25th, 7 to 11 p.m. at Martin's Crosswinds in Greenbelt. Entertainment includes Navasha Deya and more. That's Still We Rise, WPFW's 48th anniversary celebration. Details at WPFWFM.org.
I'm Kamaya.
I'm Amira.
I'm Kaya.
I'm Kamaya.
And you're listening to WPFW Washington.
Another man done gone. Another man done gone from the county farm. Another man done gone.
Huh? I don't know. What? I'm just going to walk the street.
Shut your mouth.
Oh, no.
What'd I do?
The jury of your peers having found you guilty, 10 years.
What? Come on, get in that cell.
I was in jail too, man. It's cold-blooded in the jail. You go down there looking for justice, that's what you find, just us.
Welcome to another edition of Crossroads Today. Now here's your host, Roach Brown.
Good morning. Welcome to Crossroads. We're here every Tuesday on 89.3 FM, your station for jazz and justice here in D.C. Crossroads is brought to you every Tuesday, and we deal with the issues pertaining to the criminal justice system and those folk who are injustice impacted. That includes everybody. So I want to thank you for joining us. And this morning we have an interesting show, two young ladies who I've been knowing since yesterday. And they and they are hardworking ladies in the community. And they on for the first half hour. The second hour, we have Lamont Carey from MORCA, the Mayor's Office of Returning Citizens. And there's quite a few activities going on in this month for returning citizens. This is the Second Chance Month. And before we start, we open up with what we call the grapevine, information that you can use, the grapevine. Here we go. To shrink the prison population, look at parole. Missouri lawsuit says that the state's parole process puts too many people back behind bars. That's the same thing in D.C. and all over the country. The U.S. Supreme Court has said that jailing someone for a parole violation requires certain minimum standards of due process. It was a suit which the judge last month certified as a class action, says the state has created a procedural vortex from which people on parole cannot escape and are at continued risk of being rearrested and re-entered into the prison system, all for technical non-criminal violations. The state pressures people to waive hearings, doesn't provide them with attorneys they're entitled to, and presents them with paperwork that is so confusing, and sometimes they don't even know what the accuser of the suit said. The parole board sends too many people to prison for petty violations and holds them there for too long, it argued. If the goal of prison is to try to prevent crime, I don't think this is doing that. When people are being locked up for things other than committing crimes, that is a serious violation. They want to say that DC is one of the states that's included in this, that a majority of the people from D.C. that's in the Federal Bureau of Prisons are there for non-criminal technical violations, not reporting, not living in the right address, or going out of town without permission, etc. So if you want to shrink the prison population, look at the parole board and the parole revocation processes they're using to send thousands of people back to prison. How states are undoing criminal justice reform. Louisiana, New York, and other states are rolling back reforms in efforts to reduce excessive sentencing or expand parole or smaller in scope. Louisiana voters go to the poll today, in fact, to consider substantially stiffening juvenile justice laws. The proposal, Constitution Amendment 3, would give state lawmakers new leeway to send teenagers to adult courts, jails, and prisons. Currently, 14 to 16-year-old youths can only be charged as adults for the most serious crimes like rape and murder. advocates for the amendment want the power to add new felonies like the distribution of fentanyl. Louisiana is not alone in reversing course. Across the country, the tide of legislative criminal justice reform efforts, which crested in 2020, continue to stall or be actively rolled back, generally in the face of resurgent tough on crime narratives. The alternative bill was not punitive enough for many lawmakers. These kids need our attention and our help, and at the same time, they need to be held accountable. And we must send a message to the juvenile violent criminals in this state that it's not a badge of honor to go to jail for 20 or 21 months. That ain't the issue. The issue is what we're going to talk about a little later. These guys, these kids need jobs. They need homes. They need employment. They need medical and mental services. Just lock them up and changing the law, you're not addressing the crime or the issues that lead to them committing these crimes. Bureau of Prisons is a powder keg with problems. The Bureau of Prisons has been in a tailspin for the past 10 years. Many of the problems the agency faces are not brought on by the people or leadership. It is neglect in funding and oversight that has put the BOP at the bottom of places to work in the government, along with a host of problems. While the central problems have been staffing shortage, aging institutions, and the limited halfway house capacity, new policy decisions are angering both staff and inmates and their families alike. And lastly, beatings, overcrowding, and food deprivation. U.S. deportees face distressing human rights conditions in El Salvador mega prison. El Salvador President Berkeley framed his offer to house dangerous American criminals and criminals from any country as a win-win for all. The fee for transferring detainees to a newly built Salvadorian mega prison would be relatively low. The U.S. is paying $6 million to house the deportees and immigrants sent to El Salvador. A first transfer of U.S. deportees from Venezuela has now arrived into the system. And folks, it is one of the meanest, cruelest prisons in the world. As a result of the ongoing mass arrests, El Salvador now has the highest incarceration rate in the world. The proportion of its population that El Salvador incarcerate is more than triple that of the U.S. and double that of the next nearest country, Cuba. The governor has ordered a communication blackout between incarcerated people and their loved ones. This means no visits, no letters, no phone calls. You go to this prison and stay there for life. You don't come out. There's no parole. There's no work release. There's no half house. You go to this prison and you can't talk to your family. You can't get no phone calls. You can't get no visits. Your families can't find out where you are. And if you die, they bury everybody out back in a mass grave and do not notify their family. So Mr. Trump in his deal with El Salvador, incarcerated Salvadorans are packed into grossly overcrowded cells with less than 2 square feet of space per person, beaten regularly by prison personnel, denied medicines even when they are available. Inmates are frequently subject to punishment, including food deprivation and electric shocks. Indeed, a U.S. State Department country report on El Salvador noted the harsh and life-threatening prison conditions that these immigrants are receiving in El Salvador. And that's been, and they're talking about making it possible to send some convicted D.C. offenders who are already sentenced and confined in state prisons and federal institutions. They're considering sending them to El Salvador. This is a prison that you never leave unless you're dead. Folks, this is something that we need to all be on top of and see what we can do to stop this kind of stuff. And that's been what we call the grapevine. Our guest for the first half hour, we'll be talking about with two young ladies who I just met y'all last week, didn't I?
And, that's right. You just met us last week, Roach. You need to stop.
Last week?
Yeah, you need to stop.
Last week, 50 years ago, Rosalind.
Oh, yeah. It was
55 years ago.
55.
55, baby.
Our guest is we're talking about jobs, not guns, and jobs, not drugs. And we have two of the frontline fighters, warriors, Rosalind Stiles, president of the National Association of Minority Contractors,
Body Love Wade, event coordinator, Jobs Not Gun, and Jobs Not Jail and Initiatives. I want to thank both of you, Dottie Love Wade and my good friend Rosner Style. And Dottie and I, go back, we grew up together, me, you, and your sisters and your family. We all went to the elementary school together.
Yes,
I want to thank both of you, huh? I want to thank both of you ladies because I know that y'all both worked in the government environment stuff for the last 45 or 50 years. You two ladies, every time I turn around, y'all holding rallies, fundraisers, different events to try to get guns out of the hands of these kids and try to make these streets safe. And y'all are doing this from your heart. So we invited two young ladies who have a program coming on tomorrow, in fact. East of the River 2025 Youth Career Building Workshops, A Way Out, Opiate Drugs and Violence Prevention, Wednesday, April the 9th at 10 to 2. And I want to say thanks to both of y'all for doing this because you had invited me and my wife at several of these events. And I don't know how Rosalind and you and Dottie keep doing this every few months. You bring in a host of kids and Metropolitan Police Departments, vendors, folks from all parts of the city to see what they can do to help deter and direct our youth to another correct path. So good morning, Rosner Stiles and Dottie Wade. And Rosner, I ask you, what is this youth career building workshop? You can start off and give it to Dottie.
It is absolutely from my heart, Roach. And you know how much I love you and returning citizens. One of the things I do want to shout out and before we get started about the full program is that my family personally has experienced second chance in terms of returning citizens. I've lost my brothers who were not able to successfully with a second chance. And so it's my heart to be able to provide opportunities and to celebrate second chance opportunities with the director, Lamont Carey. I'm just excited about that. Jobs Not Guns, Jobs Not Drugs. Back in 2021, our dear friend, Linda Holly Harper, had a program based on the mayor's call to reduce gun violence. And at that time, we got together and we created Jobs Not Guns. You're right. We spent our time going around the city. And our goal is to see what we can do to get district residents, period, to see if they can put down the guns and we can help them with employment, training, or support services to be able to get and hold a job. Not just any job, Roach. You know, that's not what we're about.
Yes.
We're about helping them to establish a career. It's the difference between a job and a career.
Career, that's the difference.
And so basically the community said to us, well, Rosin, we got to do something about these kids. These kids are killing each other. They're getting younger and younger. So this is the fourth time that we're doing the youth workshop. Why do we do it? This one is East of the River. Why do we do it? Because young people need to hear from employers. What do you need to do to get yourself together to come and work for me? Then we have our training programs, apprenticeship training, hospitality training, law enforcement. You'll be surprised at how many of our young people are qualified and interested in doing law enforcement. And then we have support services. Suppose they don't have a high school diploma. Suppose they have challenges in terms of reading, writing, and arithmetic. So we have support services. What we try to do is to counsel them and work with them so that we can help them to develop a work plan and find and keep a career. Did I say that right, Dottie?
You absolutely did say it right. And we try to meet these young people where they are. We try to bring in people who our panelists, who have worked with young people in the field, who are knowledgeable in their fields of expertise, and that they really reach out and work with these young people. We have a great counselor on staff, Dr. Ann Coles, who do personal one-on-one and group Zoom counseling sessions with these young people after they've come to our workshop. So we don't just take them in, show them the ropes, and leave them hanging. We also follow through with them with counseling, with job follow-ups. So we're really working with these young people, trying to get them to see that there is a path other than the jobs that they can visibly see in retail and in construction. There are so many jobs behind the scene that makes these wheels grow and run. So they learn that there are electricians in the construction industry, not just ditch diggers and sign holders, signal holders. There are all kinds of very critical jobs behind the scene, administrative, financial. You have your architects. All of that is a part of construction that our young people don't get to see. Mm-hmm. So when we have our exhibitors come out, they explain all of the intricacies of these different professions to them so that they know that there are other paths to a career that will allow them to be successful, take care of themselves, their families, and have money to spend on themselves.
Yeah. Let me ask you, who's eligible? What age range? And this is second chance money. Now, I don't believe in second chance. I believe in the first chance. This is the first chance for a lot of people. Who's eligible to participate and how did you sign up?
The good news, Roach, is that we're part of a team called the Transformers that organized last year, this past year. And that monies that come from the Department of Behavioral Health is exclusively for drug prevention. We need to share with our young people how don't get started, then you don't have to worry about a second chance. And so as a part of, and that's the jobs not drugs part. So between jobs not guns and jobs not gun and jobs not drugs, we serve as young people from 15 to 24. And for the workshop, we go into the schools. Now, Roach, I'm going to beg you on air for a favor. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put you on the spot. This is our fourth year. Last year, we had 9 schools, 150 young people who came the same place, the same time. And the United Planning Organization goes to the school, pick up our children, and bring them to the panorama room. We give them breakfast, lunch, and we give them resources. And then we take them back to school. Well, we hit a glitch this time, Roach, and we really need your help.
What is it?
United Planning Organization is ready. The schools are ready. The students are ready. But DC Public Schools are implementing a new regulation about the ability for the UPO to drive our young people, to pick up our young people. Now, Roach, you know UPO been around since 1962. and you know they are nothing but a poverty program. Remember, that's how they
used to call them. Right.
They used to call them a poverty program. Well, they are one of the top deliverers of community service in this city for 60-some years. And so they said that UPO was not qualified to transport these children. And so tomorrow, so we've been now, Dottie, she will give you the more information. But she's been working with Council Member McDuffie's office. She's been working with Sharona at DC Public Schools, but we can't seem to get UPO qualified, verified to do the transport. And so we have all these young people that are ready to come tomorrow and we can't go get them and bring them there. We need your help. Can we just talk to them and say, look, can you all approve UPO so they can go and pick up these young people? They're sitting there. We got everything.
Ross, who do we need to talk to?
Dottie, I'm going to turn it over to Dottie. You can answer that question.
Who do we need? How can we help, Dottie? Who do we need to talk to?
We're working with Ms. Weeks, I believe, at UPO, and I'll have to look at my email to get the lady's name
DC Public Schools.
Now, where we are right now, is the last glitch they wanted was our insurance. We asked them, Shirley Price of UPO, in her email to them, sent them, they asked a series of questions, and she sent the answers to them, and she told them that she was forwarding the insurance policy, and that if they needed specific, if they needed the DC public schools to be listed on that insurance policy, to let them know. They did not let us know. So we issued the regular policy. Today, and we've been telling them since we found out on Wednesday, I believe it was, that UPO was not on the qualified list of transporters. We've been working with them, telling them the urgency of the situation, that we only had a week's window, and that school was going to be closed on Monday to students. And so they gave us just a small window to work within, that we really needed this decision right away. Well, we've been getting nickel and dime decisions daily. And I'm very sorry to say that it's not been productive for us, because we got today a request for specific DC government to be added specifically to the insurance policy. This is something we asked on Thursday. Now, if they tell us tomorrow that they're approved, it's too late.
You'll finish tomorrow.
We need to know today.
Who do we need to call or contact to see if we can get this thing moving? Who do we need to call?
Give me 1 minute to check my emails. Y'all talk about something else while I do that.
Come on. Okay, we got 10 more minutes. We got another half hour with Lamar Terry. But let me know, Rob. Find out who we need to call about it.
Dottie's looking. Let me just say this, Roach. We've been doing this, like I said, we've been doing Jobs Not Guns since 2021 across the city.
That's right.
We did our first youth conference. Now, you remember, we was up at Emory Recreation
Center. I was there.
You were there. And so we were driving kids. We were picking up kids in our personal cars and everything. And so UPO stepped up to the plate and said, Roslyn, how can we help? And he said, well, we need help with transport. So this is the fourth year that UPO has transported our young people. There is no organization that operates in this city like the United Planet Organization. They've been around for over 60 years.
Yes.
And so we were devastated last week when we found out that they were not allowing UPO to transport these youth anymore. And so we're trying everything we can to get qualified according to their standards.
So I just I got an email. We just received it, said, good morning. We will have the edits made and resubmit as soon as possible. And that's from Pamela Mead, Director of Contract Risk Management and Compliance. That's for the United Planning Organization. So they're still trying to get the insurance policy upgraded to give to DC public schools.
So let me ask you this. If you don't get this insurance policy, if you don't get this insurance policy approved okay today, how would this affect your program that's being scheduled tomorrow, this East of the River Youth Career Building Workshop? How do we get these kids over there if you don't have the insurance issue cleared up?
The challenge is that the schools have the children identified. UPO will not be able to go to the school. They will not release the children in vehicles driven by UPO. And so there's nothing we can do outside of.
You won't have youth there. In other words, our youth workshop will be almost useless. We do have a couple of organizations who are bringing their youth who have their own mode of transportation. So we want
returning citizens have their own transportation, because we are working with other community organizations, the housing authority and everybody else. But our targeted population is the youth that are in school.
Yes.
It's not like we haven't done this before. They've been driving for you. The UPO's been driving with them, like I said, for the past 3 years. And so if we had known in advance, we would have worked on making sure that UPO and had enough information, but we just found out last week. And
let me ask you this. What can our listeners do? Because your event is tomorrow.
Exactly.
Two. And you got to get this insurance issue cleared up.
Well, what they can do is BC Public Schools can approve. They can, and I'm not going to speak on their behalf, but I guess what we're asking, because they have their attorney general and all of their requirements, the transportation division, but maybe there's a waiver for UPO based on their history of serving the community for over 60 years. I'm not suggesting that they circumvent any of their required laws and rules and regulations. We're just trying to make it happen because the kids are on standby. The kids and their escorts are on standby to participate tomorrow.
You know, folks who are listening to Rosner Stiles and Dottie Ray, these are two committed, hardworking, I call them warrior X. On the front line dealing with jobs not done. And they're working hard to try to get the guns off the street and get these kids jobs, not jobs, careers.
Right.
And they need your help. And I'm just sorry that we just had to wait now the day before your event. So if anyone who's listening, who got any juice or any leverage with anybody with UPO or insurance company, please go. We got, she said, they had 150 kids show up last time. 150. Mm-hmm. Nobody in this city can get that many kids together in one time, and nobody got hurt, shot, or arrested. So they need your help. These two ladies, Rosner Stiles and Dottie Ray Love. And this
can I share with you some of the people that we have committed? We have our employer, of course, is like Pepco. We have like Clark Construction. We have we have these organizations and these businesses. We have hospitality. They can get hospitality training with Busboy and Poets. He has 11 restaurants. He is going to be hiring, and not only just to operate in those restaurants, but Andy talks about how to develop a career in terms of managing those restaurants. DC Central Kitchen is the same way. They teach young people how, in terms of the whole food preparation and how to establish a career. And so we have the unions, we have the Carpenters Union, we have the Iron Workers Union, we have the, you know, so we have these unions that are looking for participants to join their unions so that they can train them with a craft, how to do it.
Yes, okay.
So those are just an example of some of the program. We have 30 exhibitors there ready help our young people in helping them to develop a career. We don't play around. We bring the big boys out. We bring the big guns out because we're not interested in McDonald's and Starbucks. We're interested in major corporations.
Right.
So we got a few minutes left before we bring on Lamont Carey. What would you want to say about it to our listeners who might can help you? Because like you said, you need this transportation in your Venice tomorrow at 10 o'clock. What would you say to somebody listening? You need help to make this event successful tomorrow. We'll be there. We come to all your events.
You're speaking. You're talking. You're on the panel talking about returning citizens and what we do with returning citizens. We always have returning citizens that come in and they give them the programs and services and support that Lamont Carey and you. Look, Dottie, you know that Roach is the grandfather of returning citizens.
Yes, we do know that.
But you do such good work. And so that, and all of us working together is what we're trying to do to prevent any young person help them to reduce gun violence and avoid the opioid and other drug epidemic. We are really committed to doing that.
I want to throw this in that the kids down at 7th and Norwood went to the police department and turned in their guns by last year, 18 months ago. And they collected the guns, and the cops wouldn't take the guns until they ran a background check. And if any gun was involved in a murder or a crime, these kids would get locked up a charge. So they took the guns and went back to 7th and Norwood. 6 months later, all of them got arrested. Here go kids that took their own initiative to turn in the guns. Here go two ladies who are risking their lives, professions and career to make sure we get the guns off the street and get these kids, not just jobs that lead to a career where they can take care of their family and build generational wealth for their families. Mm-hmm. So for these two ladies here, Rosner Stiles and Dottie Love, man, I take my hat off to you, and I will comb my hair, but I don't have no hair.
But what's your tomorrow. I don't care if it's 10 young people in the room, we're still going to be moved. We're going to still have the program because we're here to help. We're here to make sure. And see, you know, East of the River is my neighborhood. I was born and raised there, and I'm still trying to help the community. And so it doesn't matter how many in the room, we're still going to have our program from A to Z. And we are looking forward to it. We're looking forward to celebrating the Second Chance Month. That's our showcase tomorrow. And we are so excited. So if anybody has any young people, anybody, they can come tomorrow. The doors are open. There's no fee for exhibiting. There's no fee for attendance. We are here to help the community to save itself from drugs and violence.
And I want to thank both of you for coming in. That's Rosner Stiles, president of the National Association of Minority Contractors, and Dottie Loveway, event coordinator. I've been knowing both of these ladies for a long time. And believe me, they've been on the front line 30, 40 years, and they're still on the front line. I'll see you in the back, Keith, hanging in there.
Well, thank you so much for having us, Roach, as usual. We love this communication out with you. And Roach, Merry Christmas.
Oh, and thank you. And this event tomorrow is at Our Lady of Perpetual Health Catholic Church, the Panorama Room, 1600 Marsh Road, Southeast, from 10 to 2. Folks, if you got some young folks, this is Second Chance Month. We believe in the First Chance. Here's an opportunity to meet the Employers Drug Council. You can develop a career plan. And these two ladies are risking their whole career. They're doing this, and they've been doing it because they feel it. So please, if you can, be out there. East of the River 2025 Youth Career Building Workshop at 1600 Marsh Road, the Panorama Room.
Can I add one thing real quick?
Yes.
Our program is open to people up to 24, so you don't have to be in public schools. We're open to young adults who can just come in on their own transportation. They don't need a school bus or anything. Our program is from 15 to 24. School is usually 15 to 18. So we have that 5 years that we're looking, 5 to 6 years of adulthood that we're looking for young people to come out. Okay. So it's not just for high school students, listeners. It's for young adults up to the age of 24, DC residents only.
Thank you. Thank you. And our guest has been Rosner Stiles and Dottie Love Wade. They're both with Jobs Not Guns and Jobs Not Drugs. Thank you both for coming in, and we'll see y'all tomorrow. Hey, also, can you call me late in about an hour, and we can see who we can call and see what we can do if it ain't too late to shake the bushes to try to see if we can get this transportation issue. We'll call. It'll make no difference. Boogie can come over and help him out. We need help to save these kids. These are our family, our young folk. And here go two people on the front line who's doing all that they can do and have been doing it. I want to thank Rosner Stiles and Dottie Loveway. And tell that joker, Keith, I saw him bleeding in the picture. And Merry Christmas to you both, and we'll see you both tomorrow. And call me in 1 hour, Ros, so I can see what we can do to help out.
Okay, thank you so much, both.
Thank you.
Hi, lovely. I tell you, it is always good to see you. It's always good to talk to you. Like I said, Roach, Merry Christmas.
And happy Groundhog Day. And I love both of you.
See you tomorrow.
This has been we're on WPFW 8.3 FM, your station for jazz and justice. This is a one-hour show. We broke it up into two segments because the topics are so interrelated, interconnected. We have Lamont Carey coming on, who's the director of the Mayor's Office of Returning Citizens. And Lamont, this is a Second Chance Month. And I looked on the flyer that you sent. Man, there's a whole lot of events for the Second Chance Month for returning citizens. Jobs, Not Drugs, Mocha, Author Speak, Second Chance Clothing Drive, Reentry Roundtable, Welcome Home Expo. We're going to work on that expo piece with you, Lamont. Good morning, Lamont Carey from the Mayor's Office of Returning Citizens. What you smiling for, man?
Y'all one of my two favorite people, because y'all like one person, right? Y'all don't take up a whole lot of room. I appreciate y'all.
You know, somebody else told us that the other day, and the guy said, how long have y'all been married? You know what I told him?
What?
1 week. for my 1 week. You see one, you see that we're always together. I've never met another human being that I enjoy their presence. And we're together unbelievably 24-7. That's I never say around my mama that much. You know,
I got 62 and a half years on you, Roach.
Wow.
Looking at the same person 24-7.
Wow.
The month, you want to run down with just what Bulk is planning for the second chance month for our returning citizens of Washington, D.C.? You got it.
Okay. So I know that you interviewed Dottie and Rob early on. So we're going to be.
We're still here.
We're
going to talk about you.
But y'all can stay.
Man, I thought you got rid of him, man.
You ain't gonna never get rid of us.
But those are my other two favorite people because they are always trying to make sure that they create opportunities to redirect our youth, to save their lives, to get them on a pathway to careers, to make sure that they're not hurting themselves with substance abuse or hurting others with guns. So they are doing some amazing work in the community and trying to connect youth to opportunities. So we're excited to be able to partner with them tomorrow. And Roslyn is one of the funniest people on the planet. So you know you have the whole time. And then we got our inaugural, right? Authors Talk, where we're going to be featuring three returning citizen authors. One wrote a motivational book, one wrote a book of poetry and letters from when he was incarcerated. The other one wrote a book about from inmate to PhD, right? And so they're going to talk about their books, their journey, and do a brief writing prompt class on how individuals can start writing their books. And then we go to the 18th. Well, we have the clothing pop up for returning citizen. And so these clothes are going to consist of not only just professional clothes for interviews and jobs, but also for casual wear and regular wear, because a lot of times our people get released with nothing, right? And so we provide them with some startup clothes where it doesn't hit their family members' pockets, right? So we just chip in and be that community. You know how they say it takes a community to raise a child, but it takes a community to raise anyone, to support anyone that's on the pathway to their dreams. And then we go to the evening part where we have the round table that we're doing with our Commission on Reentry and Returning Citizens Affairs, just a way to engage the community and returning citizens on what some of the needs are, and then shed some light on some of the opportunities that exist now. Because we hear that there's not a lot of programs or there's not a lot of this, but one of the things that I've come to learn being in this position is that DC government is rich in programs and services, and there are a lot of nonprofits and things that are doing things to help our population. And then we're going to have the Clemency Board. We're having, pro bono, Jubilee Housing. So we're having some partners there that may be that some of the conversation may stir around, and that way we can direct them and get some feedback from some of the partners. And then we go to the finale.
And the finale, what is it?
April the 23rd, DC Armory from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. is our first Welcome Home Expo for returning citizen. Rush, as you know, we laying out the carpet, right? We're going to have service providers. We got Department of Health there for individuals that want to learn how they go about getting their birth certificate. We got Department of Human Services that going to be able to talk to them about filing for SNAP and all of those things, getting health insurance. We got some training providers that's going to be there to talk about how you can get in their programs to enhance your skills. And then we got some employers there. Safeway.
Excited, ain't you, man?
Huh?
He's excited.
Because, man, look, our community, why I'm so excited about, even excited about Second Chance, Mom, because it's not just an opportunity to say that we exist, but it's the opportunity to show that we exist, right? Because a lot of times people think about us and they think about the person that we were when we went in, but they don't witness that transformation, all that education and that day-to-day working that we do, underpaid though, right? But we're every job in the institution except for opening and closing the gate, right? And so they come, returning citizens come with a plethora of skills, and they're eager to prove to themselves, prove to their family, and prove to the community that they are not the same person that they were before they went to the
prison. Yes.
All we're asking for, Roach, what you've been fighting for before I even got on the scene, is to give us the chance, right?
Yes.
This event where we're bringing all of these service providers and employers, panels, just yeah. where they are, right? So regardless of where you are, if you just came home and you're trying to figure out how you get your birth certificate and all of that, we got the people there that's going to talk to you about it. And guess what? We have a waiver that pays for the birth certificate. So we're going to work all of that out. And those that at the employment stage can talk to some of the employer vendors there about what they're looking for. Can they apply? Can they apply right now, right? And so that's why I'm excited, because the mayor told me when she hired me, she said, I need you to take care of returning citizens.
Yes. Yes.
When you come up with something that's a barrier for them, I need you to bring it to me, right? And so I have been just extremely grateful to be under her leadership and take chances, right? Because, you know, this is a chance, bro. Sometimes you can, you know, I'm nervous. This is my first one, and I'm nervous about turnout, right? Because you So I'm so appreciative that you are giving us this opportunity to speak to your audience as you have done time and time again. And that's the one thing that I appreciate you, brother. Even though every day is Christmas and you willing to sail any ship that comes, but the ships that you have lead the charge on is reentry. You address it from every angle possible. I remember when you started, it was some local thing. Now you all over the world fighting for liberation and freedom and the restoration of rights for returning citizens. So it is always a pleasure when I have the opportunity to come on and kick it with you and the flyest woman on the planet, right? That can sell you one outfit that you can turn both different outfits, right? So it is always a pleasure to be able to come on with you all.
I just want to say, folks, you're listening to a plethora of services, programs, resources. DC leads the country in programs and services for returning citizens, for youth, for young adults, etc. And here we got two program people. This is Second Chance Month. You got so many activities being handled by Rosner Stiles and Donnie Wade. Lamont Carrier, they're meeting at the Transformer with Busboys and Poets. Every time I turn around, I'm going to a meeting this afternoon. The minute I get off the show, we got a meeting at Vince Chiller Bowl for Let's All Get Involved. So you got folk who've been spending years in the trenches to make things better. And for the Second Chance Month, for what Roz and Dottie Love Wade is doing in Lamont. Folks, I've never seen this many activities and events within a 30-day period from the community to save people's lives, to redirect them, to help them. And you got folk who are doing this because it's in your heart. We don't do this to get paid. I haven't been paid yet. I was paid. They paid me They paid me two cupcakes and a Tootsie Roll.
They paid you no attention, Rhodes.
That's what they did, Roz. I was trying to figure it out.
We know what they paid you. They paid you no attention. And you kept on trying anyway. And you're still here. That's what we do. We ain't got sense enough to leave the table. You know,
are you getting any support from all the other sections of the community and the city to put this thing off, especially at the Army? Because a few months ago, Roz and Donnie had me again at the D.C. Army. And that's a facility, man. They had a lot of people, and they had that joint packed. Ross, I don't know how y'all did it, but you had the D.C. Army packed. Now Lamont has it. What is it?
So it's because the D.C. Armory steps up. Director Hunter said, brother, what do you need? Let's partner. You can use this space. we can make this face space fit to meet your needs, right? And then we had Reform Alliance come on as a partner. Then we had United Healthcare come on as a partner. Then we had DC Central Kitchen come on as a partner. Then we got Serve DC that came on as a partner. So people are seeing the opportunity to serve, that this is, I mean, remember at first we used to have to hide in the corner. We get a job, we couldn't let nobody know that we was a returning citizen. But guess what? Those are the things that I share. Last week, the mayor did a picture on the Wilson Building steps with all returning citizens that are on DC government staff, right? Huh. And a lot of individuals that came out, some couldn't make it, right? And some still was trying to figure that out. But this is the first time in history in the district that the mayor said, these are my people. These people work for me. But she's been moving barriers ever since I've been in here and beyond, right? And then even the council pushing to make things better for returning citizens. So the district is one of the most progressive places in the land. And I'm just so happy to be able to lead that charge under the mayor's vision as a returning citizen. And guess what? Y'all see me all the time on here, but I got a staff that has been working tirelessly trying to make sure not only that these events go on, but that the over 2,000 people that we have served already in Morka are still being served while we're putting all of this stuff together, right? And so it's an effective effort.
Let me ask you a question. You got all these vendors and services at the expo and the event. Is there anybody there from Social Security? Because I know Trump and them talking about cutting Social Security, et cetera. And a lot of our men and women coming out need money. And the fastest way, one of the ways they can get it, is to apply for Social Security or disability or SSI, et cetera. Is there anybody there to deal with the Social Security? Because a lot of our folk coming to these events don't have any money. They don't even have coffee. As Ross and them said in the beginning, they had an arrangement with UPO to provide transportation for these youth. Yeah. Do we have any transportation available for our men and women who are returning citizens? Because we don't have a halfway house no more. So there's very few places that they would congregate that we can go. And we know we go to these two places, we can get 20, 30, 40, 50 people. So what's your take on that?
So with Social Security, I know that's one of the organizations that we have been reaching out to, but I haven't been able to talk to Ms. Green yet to see if we secured them, but I'll definitely follow up and see if that has been done. In terms of transportation, like that's one of the other biggest issues, but Morka supplies smart trips, right? If you're participating in the program, if you're in the halfway house, if you just started a job, right, and you are a returning citizen that is connected with us, chances are they already receiving smart trip cards. Probably the nine people that's sitting that I just walked past, most of them are probably, if they haven't been signed up for, they're in the process of getting signed up for. But there are organizations that are throughout the district that are trying to meet the needs of returning citizens. But Rose, we have to be honest though, right? The need is so great.
Yes.
Right? And we're just all trying to figure out, how do we get you on that pathway to the middle class, right? How do you, for some of those that are dealing with mental health challenges, right? Because prison is a traumatic experience, right? How do we connect with service providers that can help you address those mental health issues? How can we connect you with service providers that can help you find out what the medication was that you was taking? Because you don't remember the name, because when you went to pill call, you just open your mouth and they put it in, right? Yeah. And so we're doing everything within our power, and it's just amazing to see just not only government, but the nonprofit sector, the for-profit sector saying, hey, we want to take a chance. We want to come to your event and give returning citizens an opportunity to get a job where they can pay their own way, right? Because the one thing, Roach, if you remember, our goal is how we connect you to get the things that you need so you can be independent, thriving, on the pathway to the middle class. Our goal is not to just give you everything and you don't have to do nothing. Our thing is, let us meet you where you are, figure out what it is that you want to accomplish and how we can support you in moving those barriers. Mm-hmm. There are individuals that had come home from prison within the last 3 years, right, under the IRA law. Some of these guys got three jobs, Roach. Mm-hmm. That is how determined and committed they are to winning, right? Yeah. And so that women that come home, Roach, I just hired, I got almost a new staff of hungry returning citizens with all kinds of backgrounds, did decades, like triple decades incarcerated, but their main thing is that they want to give back. They want to prevent going, and they want to help returning citizens succeed. So that's why I'm excited, man. I have never had this much support from all corners of the earth, right? We got people that's coming from Virginia, right? Yeah. We got some of your people there. We want to meet some of the service providers, and so we can make sure when they leave in D.C., go to Virginia, that they connected. We got Baltimore. We got PG County. That's like, we want to come because we got that we're dealing with. So this has turned into like a DMV thing, right?
Great. I'm so proud, man, and glad to see that as usual, every time I go to Rawls and Donnie's Affairs, the Jobs Not Gun Rallies, you're always there. Yeah. And John, here, folks, Donnie and Rawls just explained what they're doing tomorrow for this Jobs Not Guns. Here's Lamont coming on. He got a whole range of services, resources, and vendors. So if you got a son, daughter, loved one, or relative, somebody you know incarcerated or just come home, you got resources. You got places you can go so you don't have to go back to that foolishness no more. And you got people there who's doing whatever you need, all you just come there tomorrow from, what's that time? It's from 10 to 2. The Panorama Room, 1600 Marsh Road. You'll see Roz, Dottie, and Lamont, and my wife and I'll be there. And this whole month is Second Chance Month. Right. And that you got coming on the 23rd at the D.C. Honor. Folk, I don't know how y'all doing all this. I know, because I don't know what else to do either. You just keep doing what you're doing, and you're providing services and assistance. And I see you over there smiling, Dottie, way. What you want to say, Dottie?
Any calls
coming? I say you just have to keep it moving. And that's right. How we help these young people. We keep it moving, and we encourage them to just keep it moving, forward.
Keep it moving.
Don't stop. Guess what, don't look back. Keep it moving forward.
And look, Rose, we got something else too. That it's also Emancipation Month, right?
Yes, it is.
And on this Sunday, there's a Emancipation Parade that you all can come to and participate in. And then, Rose, guess what?
Yeah.
Those that even got like need community service hours, returning citizen kids, right? We got the spring cleanup, right?
Yeah.
District. I just have the fortune to be able to oversee Ward 6, right?
And yeah.
So people out there listening, you want to attend the events, you want to participate in emancipation, you want to participate in the cleanup, just email me at ORCA. That's hold on, let me make sure I'm spelling my own, ORCA@dc.gov, right? And my team will get you right back and send you all of this information so that you can be a part of the Second Chance Mom Emancipation.
Give me the contact information, Lamar.
Say that one more time.
Contact information
again.
You can email us at ORCA@dc.gov. Or you can call, right? You can call at 202-715-7670. Again, 202-715-7670. And you can find out all the things that Morka is participating in, because we want you to come on out and participate.
Thank you. We run out of time, folks. This has been an action-packed hour. I want to thank Rosner Stiles and Donnie Love Wade, and we got this program called Jobs Not Drugs tomorrow at Adelaide Perpetual Health. Please show up, folks, because you got health resources. If you everybody knows somebody that's been in and is out. They need help. They need housing. They need jobs, mental health counseling.
Yeah.
You got all these services available right there before you. Tomorrow, just come out to the Panorama Room tomorrow at 10. And all this month, we'll be promoting these events for the Second Chance Month for folks to plug in. I want to thank Rosalind Styles and Dottie Love Wade and my good friend Lamont. I ain't never seen as excited. Even when you make fun of you, and that's excited, man.
I can tell you something. He's fired up and ready to go, but he's our guest speaker. He's going to open the show tomorrow. I tell you, that Lamont is something else. I ain't seen the 7 books yet, but I know he's going to have one of them there on display.
Thank you. For this morning, we'll see everybody tomorrow over at the Panorama Room. And thank Roz and Dottie Love Wade and our good friend Lamont Kevin. Man, thank you. And keep up the good work, because we got one of the largest returning citizens population in the country. So
everybody deserves a second chance.
This has been Crossroads, and remember, your inner voice is never wrong. Merry Christmas.
The ones who suffer and who catch all the hair, but they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is...
WPFW presents Still We Rise, our 48th anniversary celebration on Friday, April 25th, 7 to 11 p.m. at Martin's Crosswinds in Greenbelt. Entertainment includes Navasha Daya and more. That's Still We Rise, WPFW's 48th anniversary celebration. Details at wpfwfm.org.
Hello, I'm Dave Zirin, host of WPFW's The Collision, with an editorial. Mahmoud Khalil, a student at Columbia University and a U.S. permanent resident, has been illegally detained by ICE for organizing against the U.S.-supported genocide in Palestine. In detaining Khalil, the Trump administration, the State Department, and the Department of Homeland Security have made clear that they are more than willing to violate constitutionally protected rights to punish those who speak out against them and Israel's war on the people of Gaza. This is a deeply alarming development. It is a march towards authoritarianism. It is a blatant encroachment on our democracy, and it places all of us in peril, especially members of the most vulnerable and marginalized communities in our country. In the words of Angela Davis, if they come for me in the morning, they will come for you at night. Standing together as people of conscience and demanding Mahmoud Khalil's freedom, it is a stand against fascism, and it is a stand for our collective right to free speech and protest. I'm Dave Zirin. This has been a WPFW editorial.
Are you in the process of writing or updating your will, trust, or estate plan? We invite you to consider adding WPFW as a beneficiary through a charitable bequest. Bequests can take many forms and are usually the largest and most impactful gift a donor will ever make. Your bequest will help to ensure the programming WPFW has provided for almost 50 years will continue into the future. More info available by email at plannedgiving@wpfw.org or by phone at 202-588-0999, extension 344. Or you can let us know you've already included PFW in your plans through those same channels so we can add your name to our growing list of legacy listeners. We are listener supported. We are Jazz and Justice. And because of your support, we are WPFW.
Hi, this is Jim Byers, host of the Latin Flavor Classic Edition. For nearly 5 decades, support from listeners like you has kept WPFW's wheels rolling. In fact, the single largest category of donations comes from those who donate an unused car to the station. That's right, running or not. Even a car sitting idle that needs thousands of dollars in repairs can do wonders for WPFW. If you can't drive it, donate it. WPFW will get the proceeds, and you'll get a tax break. Go to WPFWFM.org or call 1-866-WPFW-CAR. That's 1-866-973-9227 for more information. Help WPFW continue building a better world. One broadcast